Dear students, in our last presentation, we focus on a sample mutual fund, just one of over almost 12,000. And we showed that over 85 years, this mutual fund's done pretty well. There are others that have done, you know, better, that many have done worse. But how many people have an 85-year time horizon? So I promised you that we'd take a look at some more realistic illustrations for younger adults and for older adults. So first we're going to take a look at $100 a month for 30 years and then see what happens if we simply increase our time horizon by 10 years. That's why we want to get the young folks started early. Then, this is so cool, every year, instead of $100 a month for the first year, and then the second year increase it to 110, 120 the third year, you see? We'll take a look at that. And now for the folks who come up to me and say, how come you didn't tell me this 20 years ago? We'll do 20 years. But what we find is that we have to make a big dent in our savings, to make a big impact in our savings, I should say, we have to put in a whole lot more per month because we just don't have the benefit of time. So let's start taking a look at these. The first one, as we said, will be $30 a month for 100 years. $100 a month for 30 years, right? And if you looked at the other illustration, you know that these things are filled with disclaimers about investments not being FDIC insured, nor are the deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. All this stuff that nobody reads, that nobody understands, that the lawyers told us to put there, all this gobbledygook that's very actually useful if you ever have insomnia. Just start reading this stuff, and I promise you, you'll be fast asleep very quickly. Now, let's get to the good stuff, right? We're going to put $100 away for 30 years. That means going back to 1989, right? And the markets in the 90s went in two directions, up and way up. So by the end of the decade, we then had about $38,000. Not bad. But then came the great unwinding of the internet bubble, and there were 3 years in a row that the market went down, and you can see that by 2002, your $38,000 had become $33,000. Not a big deal, right? You're still putting in $100 a month. By 2007, it had gone up to almost $68,000. Yippee! And then in 2008, you're down to $45,000. Yeah. A bolt of lightning from the sky. But you didn't run, you didn't hide, and sure enough, the markets came back, went down a little bit in 2008, but you've put in $36,000, and you have $154,000, $155,000, at an average annual rate of return of 8.46. Well, we were looking for 8, 9, 10. These guys had done 12% over 85 years, but the last 20, 30 years have been pretty rough for stocks with two major bear markets. And if we take a look at the graph, we see just the beginning. You see here is starting to go up, and then there's the 2000 to 2002 downturn, and then we have 2008. Oh, and now you start to just see that exponential curve starting, but there's 2018, right? Cool? Is that cool? Alright, so what we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at 40 years. $100 a month for 40 years. Just extend your time horizon. You're in your 20s, right? You can start putting your money away until 60. And so there's the same scary stuff. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of results in future periods. Investors may lose money. No, you're going to lose money, folks. There's going to be times when you're going to lose money. You just have to be prepared emotionally for that and realize that you're buying shares at a lower price. Yippee! So we're starting back in 1979. Yeah, wow, hard to believe. And I was alive then. And actually, that was the year I graduated from college. I'm telling you, don't tell people that. Anyway, the 80s and 90s, the stock market went in two directions, up and way up. And you had $200,000 at the end of 2000. And then, bingo, right, 2-3 years went down, 2000, 2002, 2003. Yeah, it's interesting, it went down 2000, 2001, and 2002. This mutual fund actually held up in 2000. But your $200,000 became $166,000. But you didn't run, you didn't hide, you kept putting money away. And in 2017, you had $310,000. Whoopee! And then in 2008, you had $203,000. Oh, this is going to happen, folks. You got to be prepared, right? You just got to be prepared. Because here in 2007, you heard people say, ooh, is it too late to get in? And then in 2008, you heard people saying, ooh, is it too late to get out? And by putting in $100 a month every month, you know, rain or shine, sometimes you're buying high, sometimes you're buying low, and you can just say to yourself, you know, okay, it's down, but I'm getting more shares at a lower price. It's called dollar cost averaging. And we kept up, and sure enough, we've put in $48,000 as of December 31st, 2018, about what some people pay for a car, which is worth $5,000 in 10 years. And then we have returned we now have in our nest egg $630,000 at an average rate of return of 10.4%. Yeah, pretty darn good, huh? And so the graph will show what we expect to see, a upward sloping curve that has its bumps and grinds, but eventually starts to look like that exponential curve that goes way up in the air, except for some years when it doesn't. But now here's the best one, folks. This is so cool. You're going to be so excited. Because really, $100 a month, it sounds like a lot of money, but it's less than some of you pay for your cell phones. And what can you do? Right, here's the scary part. Be afraid. Be very afraid. What can you do? Well, next year, you start with $100 a month initially, back in 1979. And then every year you increase that by 10 bucks. Two fewer trips to 5 bucks every month. I mean, 4 bucks. Starbucks! Can you do that? Right? Your income's going to be rising, right? You'll be paying down debts. Yeah, you can. So now instead of $1,200 every year, it's going up every year because we're increasing by $10 once a year. You don't do it every month. So first year, $100 a month. Second year, $110 a month. Third year, you got it, $120 a month. And sure enough, the markets went in two directions in 80s and 90s, up and way up. And you had $300,000 at the end of 2000 and then $255,000 at the end of 2002. But bounced back smartly in 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, and we had almost a half a million dollars, almost $493,000, and then $325,000. But we didn't lose faith. We listened to Mr. Warren Buffett, who said, I'm investing in America. And he did, actually. We'll talk about him later on. And in 2008, we had invested $141,000, which sounds like a lot of money, but over 40 years, it's not, folks. It's a lot less than you're going to spend on cars if you're an average American who buys a car every 4 to 8 years or whatever. But look at that. That $141,000 is now $1 million at an average rate of almost 10%. And the graph should look very similar. Indeed, it does. It starts off slowly, as exponential curves do, and then we have our little roller coaster there, our big roller coaster in 2008, and the upward sloping exponential curve. And so, you young folks, get started now. Pay yourself first, as we recommend people in the Business 121 Financial Planning and Money Management class. Before you make your cell phone payment and buy those Nike shoes and that Ford Explorer. So, okay, now, what happens? The people who come up to me and say, why didn't you tell me this 20 years ago? Yeah, I understand. So, for them, they don't have the benefit of time, right? So they need to put a whole lot more in. So here, oops, wrong one. Where did it go? 500 a month. So we're going to take a look at a 20-year time horizon. You know, these people are in their late 40s, early 50s, and they're going to put $500 a month away, which is what some people pay for their cars, folks. Here's the scary part. Be very afraid. And so we started back in 1999, which was the height of the internet bubble. And by 2007, we had 73,000. We're putting in $500 a month. That's $6,000 a year. So our drop in 2008 is not as dramatic because we just don't have as much in. And we keep putting more money in. And by the end of 2018, we've put in $120,000. We only have $250,000, which, again, is not bad. You know, half a sandwich is better than no sandwich whatsoever. But you see what the benefit of time can do for us? And because we've suffered through two serious down markets, we only got 7%, which, again, is not something to be, you know, not something to be very critical of. 7% is still pretty good. But you see, you don't get that swooping curve because you just don't have that much time. You don't get to take advantage of that exponent, which is time. But some people can put a lot more in because some people pay a lot more for their cars. And so you might have, where did it go? I'll find a better way of doing it here. If you can put $1,000 a month away, and some people can, folks, especially after debts have been paid down. But then the kids, sometimes they want to go to the best college. But these are people in their later 40s, 50s, and hopefully they have some. Maybe they're two wage earner families, and they can be socking away that 401k. So here's a couple maybe that can put $1,000 away for 20 years, and the results are going to be better certainly. But again, it's $12,000 a year, folks. Which again, if you have a very expensive car, that might be what you're when you add in insurance and all the maintenance and the like. So we put it then for 20 years. And we put in $240,000, and we have $500,000 at a little over 7%. Yeah, not the best situation, but still not bad. Nothing to sneeze at, certainly, but not like when we have 40 years. And here's the graph that says you don't get to take advantage of the benefit of time, that exponential wee up in the air. But I hope you agree with me that the news is pretty good. If you are able to contain your emotions and realize that if the world does end and the stock market falls and doesn't get back up again, then that means the economy has literally cracked and dissolved and fallen into a pool of tears, and there's no food at the Spahn's, there's no gas at the Chevron station, there's no Close the Gap, the cell phones aren't working, the trash isn't being picked up, the hospitals, the schools, the banks, the fire departments, the police departments are all shuttered. What's in your 401k, your Roth IRA, your regular account is going to be the least of your worries. We're all going to be digging for beetle grubs and boiling bark for dinner. But as I've said, I'm very optimistic, assuming we don't blow ourselves up, die in our own waste, nuclear war, Ebola, meteorite, tsunami, disco returning. I'm serious, folks. I know it sounds goofy because I kind of take a very strange look at things sometimes, but with all the negative news, the economy around the world has never been better. More people as a percentage of the world's population are coming out of poverty than ever before. And this is a very good sign. And it's also a great sign for us investors. Because these people, for the first time, have money in their pockets. And what do they want? They want diapers for their kids. They want clean water. They want Danone yogurt and Nike shoes and cell phones. And they want Disney. And they want television and toothpaste. They want the things that we in the West have taken for granted for a long time. And that's a good sign. And so we'll see. We'll see. I know I might sound a little Pollyannish, but the news is pretty good. Assuming the world doesn't end. So, dear students, if you're young, get started. $50, $100 a month, raise it every year. If you're older, let's get together and cry in our beer, and we'll see what we can do for you, okay? But get started now. See ya.